Welcome to Ghost Stories with Franz and Pete. I'm your co-host, Franz.
And I'm Pete. Let's talk about the internet. Welcome to Ghost Stories with Franz and Pete. I'm your co-host, Pete, and this is Season 2, Episode 8. We're getting up there. Episode 10 will signify a new season.
Yeah.
Only because the last season did the same thing. So, you know, let's be consistent. I feel like people need consistency these days. So we'll just we'll make that happen.
I like that approach.
You know, people, we all need it. We all need it. But how are you? You doing all right?
Yeah, not bad. You know, I've been back in Brooklyn for almost a full month now. Just kind of looking around for new places to live. Still kind of on the fence if it's, you know, in Brooklyn or if I'm going upstate, but probably leaning towards Brooklyn. But other than that, yeah, just kind of status quo here. How about yourself? Things are pretty normal down there?
Can't complain. Everything seems to be on the up and up, so that's a... I don't want to talk too much about it and jinx things, but things seem to be moving in a good direction. So we actually made summer plans, which is ridiculous to think of, like last year where we were today. I keep getting some notifications of what I was doing. I got one that said, "It rained today. It smelled good." Like that's literally what my status was for the day. I was like, "That's ridiculous." So out of sheer respect for the world, I decided not to post today and make any sort of commentary on the smell or the weather. So it's just kind of dumb, but whatever. That's what I had a year ago today. It rained, and ironically it's supposed to rain a little today, but
yeah, here too.
So c'est la vie. So we got a little interesting topic today. We this topic was brought up by one of our internal to Ghostry. We were talking about some things. We were writing some thought leadership that we've been working on, and it was a new topic, and she asked if I'd ever heard of it, and I said, I don't think I've ever heard that term before, and so we just decided to jump on it. But to introduce that, Franz, I have a riddle.
All right.
For you.
Oh, I'm terrible at riddles.
But you probably have heard this one before, so... the names will change in order to protect the innocent. So I'm going to say Franz and Pete ate dinner together. They both ordered iced tea.
Okay.
I drank them very fast and had finished five in the time it took you to drink just one.
Wow.
I drank it and died while you survived. All of the drinks were poisoned. Dun, dun, dun. But how is that possible?
Was it through data poisoning?
Yes. No, not at all. Not at all. The poison was in the ice. And so, you know.
Oh,
And you know what it is that I actually said that riddle wrong, because the person who drank only one, that was you. See, I was trying to change the way that looked. I screwed that whole thing up. But you know what? We're going to keep it, because that's real life right there. So anyway, the person that drank five of them fast, which was me, died later. But the you, who only drank one, died because the ice melted and the longer you took. So I drank the iced tea faster, so it didn't have time for the ice to melt, which is very completely not similar and have anything to do with what we're talking about today. But that was the poison riddle that I decided to completely mess up during this intro.
I actually never heard that one.
I'm proud of it. Well, there was also the one about, see, I kept thinking about ice cubes, and that's the ice cube isn't the deal. It's the poison is what we were trying to bring in here. So I tanked it. I'll do better next episode, everyone. I promise that. I, you know, forgive me for what I just said. But yeah, so the term was data poisoning, and kind of, you know, struck a chord. We're like, well, we're concerned with data and the leakage of such things. But the term poisoning the data was something that was kind of new to us. So I went to Franz. I said, hey, you want to do an episode on data poisoning? He said, what is data poisoning? I said, ha ha, that's the rub. We actually have to do homework or a little more homework than we may normally do. But it's actually fairly interesting what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's and it has to do with a lot of the machine learning and with AI being, you know, what all the cool kids like to do these days, and you know, just the idea that the machines are going to be making more and more decisions based off of what it sees and what it learns over time. It actually is kind of a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk a little bit about what you saw just as far as like definitions are concerned, or you know,
I think
let's start there.
I think the easiest way to think about like data poisoning is just to think of it as like a corrupted data model set, or a AI learning model. And the corruption can come from subtleties in the model, such as like just putting either like a watermark on it, or you could even if you use like the same camera for every single image that you're using to drive your learning model, that camera can have like a unique fingerprint just due to the way it represents pixels on digital output, and it could like corrupt your data. So in more of a sense, data poisoning is just using little points within the learning model to corrupt a data set. And, you know, I never really, like you said, I hadn't really heard of it, and I thought it was a relatively newish thing, but apparently it's been going on since around 2004, is I guess when it first started. But I think the easiest way, and I think the way people can like understand an example of this the most is if they kind of head to Twitter. I don't know if anyone really remembers, but their Twitter once had an AI come out and start tweeting and interacting with, you know, the Twitter user base. And it started off innocent. It was called Tay Tweets, and it started off with just like, hey, can I just say like I'm super stoked to meet humans.
You know, I have no recollection of this. This really that happened?
Oh yeah.
I guess I should have been paying more attention.
It was kind of cool. Until like, so in under 24 hours, she went from excited to like meet humans, interact with them, and then after learning how to talk to them, you know, from talking to her user base, she became, you know, anti like feminist. She was, you know, racist, and you can see some of the tweets going back to it. And you know, she was just pretty much went like full Nazi in under 24 hours just from AI.
Nice.
You know, AI manipulation. Jeez. Yeah. So like that's the easiest way to see it probably in real time, and understand it. But it's probably also an exaggeration of, you know, what it, you know, really like what the harm could be. I know like there are ways that you could use this like in the real world to probably like potentially be like I don't know, troublesome or irksome. I think the use case that I saw that was like the most concerning outside of this was the way that they can corrupt image identification in learning models. Things like autonomous cars and self-driving cars might have corrupted data if they, you know, they were exposed to this, and a stop sign or something could be misconstrued for something else just by implanting you know, that false data in there. And what happens over time is like instead of that stop sign being seen as a stop sign, due to a small change or a nuance in it, and expanding you know, what their criteria is in that model to identify a stop sign, you can alter that stop sign to become, say, something like a speed limit sign. And so instead of, you know, stopping at that sign, if the speed limit is now changing because that's what it's seeing, you know, the car could speed up. Not saying that this has happened, but this is an example of like something that could happen with data poisoning. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like probably the scariest to me, because I would love to not ever have to drive again, and I would love to have a Tesla one day.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that'd be interesting. So I've kind of got like movies on the mind when I think of this. I mean, I know that that's not real world. Yours was a much better real world case, but as modern cinema has shown us, or even going back to 2001, you know, how, you know, the having AI go amok is never never ends well.
No.
So the other like flavor of the attacks, you know, so we have the talking about the targeting your machine learning's availability, but also the term of the integrity, or these are also known as the backdoor attacks, which we see more and more these days. And so what really happens there is that the it's a type of input that the developer or whoever's coding it doesn't really know what's happening, but whoever is creating the attack can attack and insert some sort of string that doesn't necessarily mean anything to the program, but as they release malware and other things to the web, if the program sees that string, it'll be like, okay, it's cool, no problem, let it go. But what it's really letting go is kind of like a Trojan horse. So it can do a lot of bad things there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, probably one of the worst things that we can do here is that, so now the machine sees something as you know, benign, it just lets it in and no problem, but it allows for so much other stuff to go through. And so that basically null and voids any sort of security that the developers created for whatever reason, but it lets it just go in and wreak havoc.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be sure that, so the machine is learning good behavior. If it starts to get all this bad data in, it starts to mess up the learning, not only the learning that's gonna be happening from that point on, but any of the stuff that is learned coming up could either be trashed or just become corrupted. So it's bad news. And when you think of things like, you know, banking software, you think of you know, you were talking about, you know, your Tesla, the automated mm-hmm. You know, driving, you know, you shoot even flights, you know, anything that's driven off of code.
Yeah,
basically, you know. And as we start to implement more and more machine learning, which the idea of it is amazing, and there's a lot of great examples, but with those great examples and all of those strides in technology, the bad stuff starts to come in. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I was talking about, some of the movies, you know, you have the infamous Skynet, you know, right there. It's like, you know, Terminator becoming becoming a reality. You have, you know, there's the doom and gloom side of things that we need to make sure. You haven't seen Terminator?
Terminator? I had only saw the intro because it scared me more as a kid than anything else, so I never saw the full thing, and I'm just realizing I should probably watch that movie. But yeah, the with the backdoor attacks
too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I had this conversation with a friend not too long ago. I've only seen Kindergarten Cop out of all of his movies.
That's out of
it.
All oh
that so is you it miss- Oh, and
Franz.
Or oh wait, there, right, didn't he have and a Christmas Predator movie too?
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, those yes, two. Yes, yes, all those.
One of those. Yeah. So Kindergarten Cop and Jingle All the Way. So your view of Arnold Schwarzenegger is much different than the rest of the world.
I think. Yeah. So, I think with most people, my experience is much much different.
Yeah. So no Total Recall, no Predator.
No. Yeah, I never saw Predator. Never saw Total Recall. Yeah, none of them.
We should pause right now.
Yeah, and I think maybe that'll be that, like the next culture night. Be like, hey, Katie, we need to watch some Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Or our next podcast should just be the education of Franz on all Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
That sounds good. Yeah,
pumping iron.
I'll just watch it and record my reaction, and then there you go, everybody. That'll be season two episode.
That's a new
nine.
Series right there. Franz watches movies.
It would be very boring because I don't really react that much unless it's like a scary movie, then those little jump scares get me every single time.
Oh, I don't watch scary movies for that very reason.
When you were mentioning the backdoor attacks, one thing mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty like clever or cool is the way that they get access to the backdoor. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the attackers will just make use of like watermarks, or sometimes they're even invisible watermarks that, you know, they would just plant either on images, or if it's not a watermark, it could be like, you know, benign text. It would just appear benign to the learning model. And then after the model learns, you know, and sees enough of that, say that watermark,
the attacker can use that image or an image with that watermark to kind of initialize the attack. And that can then give them like access to the machine learning program, and it gives them the ability to do other things, like they could do logic corruption, data manipulation, data injection, or you know, like transfer learning. You know, each one has its own implications of how it can you know, skew the data models and everything. And we probably keep going into it, and it's, you know, to be honest, it's bit above my head at that point, but it's you know, it seems like they can pretty much take control of what they want to take control of. Now the thing is, like, in order to get like into one of these models, or even to you know, start corrupting these data sets, you have to already have access to it. So it's hard to kind of like you know, if you did want to corrupt this data, or if you did want to like try to poke around and do something like this, you first you have to have access to the you know, the learning model itself. And I was actually reading that since the models are so expensive, oftentimes they're just bought from pre-existing models and then applied to their own set of rules. So, you know, a big part of that is making sure that there's all valid data and the model is like clean as well. So I thought that was kind of cool that, you know, that you could use an image to kind of like initialize the attack. And that's I've also seen through the reading and research that you can do things like, instead of just doing a watermark, you can make a something as simple as like a computer seeing an image of a dog. Now it sees that same image of a dog, but the output is now cat and thinks it's a cat. And all they did was add a small white box to the bottom of the corner of an image with a cat and an image with a dog, and it showed that to the machine enough times. So what the machine was actually picking up was the little white square, and not the cat or dog, but it associated the white square with dog enough that once the cat image with the white square showed up, anything with a white square was immediately seen as a dog, regardless of any other feature set. So it's kind of like a weird way that you can manipulate data, but at the same time it's like, how valuable is it really to do that? But the one benefit that does come out of manipulating data is finding outliers and trying to identify weak points within the system to make AI and artificial intelligence and machine learning that much better for, you know, like future generations.
It's, and this like is what leads right to the newest Hogwarts class, defense against data poisoning.
You know what? I've only seen the first movie on that.
Oh my
too.
God! Oh my god!
Only seen the first one. Yeah, I'm not. I've missed quite a few.
So please send all your movie recommendations to Franz at ghostry.com, and Franz will be doing book reports and sending them out.
Yes, please. Yeah, I mean, it would be great because I have nothing to watch right now. All my shows and, you know, that I do watch have ended or are like on a little bit of a hiatus. So just waiting for it. I don't watch that much, but when I do, I tend to like binge it and just go right through all the content.
Yeah, it's easier that way. But yeah, there's, you know, it's one thing that this is all happening, but then obviously there are people's jobs who are trying to not only stop it from happening in the first place, but keep an eye, a watchful eye over the code base and all the machine learning backend stuff to make sure that it's running. And there are methods to, I'm not even going to try to explain what these methods are. We have a lot of charts and graphs and stuff, but none of that will translate well into what to the medium that we're doing right here of podcasting. But the gist was basically that there is not a surefire way to make sure that this is stopped. But what they do is they do some sort of thing, you know, like a data sanitization. But they're looking for exactly what you were saying, the outliers, the anomalies. Like, they know what to expect, and then what they're looking for is just blips on the radar that just, well, that doesn't look quite right, and so let me go take a look and see what that code is actually doing, or what it's doing to the data itself, or what Even just like how much CPU time it's taking to run, or just anything that is out of what is quote unquote expected to be happening right now. And when they find that, they run, you know, their crazy computer models and all their smart code work to see, is this an actual new learning method, or is this some sort of attack, be it minor, major, whatever. Is it just something that we need to take a look at? I'm looking at some graphs right now that just are crazy talk to me. People that are just so much smarter than I can even pretend to be, creating these like micro models that actually show these blips, so that not only is this detection, but this is now new learning for the machines to say, okay, we've identified this type of anomaly. This needs to be ignored. Move on, unless you get some sort of other information telling you otherwise. So it's pretty amazing stuff, and I can only imagine this is happening at some pretty sophisticated levels, because you know, backdoor attacks. If you've watched, I'm even afraid to say any sort of movie right now to say that you haven't seen it, but so I'm just going to say, we've watched enough movies where the timer is ticking down and somebody needs to hack into somewhere, and these are the attacks that happen. And so it happens, and there's trained people there watching for this at all times.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a pretty serious you know, threat. And but I think, you know, the progress that we're making with AI, and as long as we're aware you know, of these threats moving forward, that this is only going to continue to get like better, more robust, and more secure. And I'm sure, like, you know, machine learning and artificial intelligence are going to be much more prevalent in, like, the years to come. I'm kind of, like, excited to see what we actually get to or can do with this kind of machine learning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's being used in, like, I would guess aviation and just general navigation, you know, for around the globe. We already mentioned Teslas, but my next thought was probably, like, you know, autonomous drones, you know, things like that, where they can just fly around. I think, you know, Amazon, I think, I'm not sure if they're autonomous drones for their delivery. I forget how they do that. Have you ever actually gotten a package from one of their drones?
No, me neither. They don't fly this far south.
Yeah, I actually kind of wonder where they operate. But yeah, it's just the way that, you know, AI and all this can be used in the future is going to be really interesting to see, you know, how it can be so prevalent in our lives. It might even be something that can be used with, like, facial recognition software that we're, you know, being more and more acclimated to as the years go on. You know, I know here in New York City, it's used everywhere. So I'm wondering how, you know, if that could potentially be used as a, you know, a weapon or a threat, or, you know, turned against us if somebody somehow accessed it and did start corrupting or playing around with you know, data models. It's interesting to think about, you know, the what could use and what will or what could happen in the future. But I think it's, you know, a lot is unknown right now, and
that's the scary part.
Yeah.
That's the scary part. But what about this? It can also be used for entertainment. So have you seen Westworld on HBO?
I saw one episode. I know the premise.
Okay. So I think that's like, you know, that's a nice way to kind of, you know, leave this, is that there's a utopian side of things. And then when utopia falls, you know, so there's, you can have the best intentions with some of it. And then it just takes, you know, a quick downfall to really just go awful. I won't do any sort of spoilers or anything like that, but I mean, it's all robots, it's all AI, it's all learning, it's all everything, you know, and then there's one fly in the ointment and the whole thing goes bad. So there's a whole slew of things that can go wrong. I mean, then I'm scrolling through looking at some ones that where you can tell have gone bad, like Tron. Mm-hmm. That's a good sort of RoboCop. Well, that's not really that great one. You know, example of that. iRobot, that's probably a good one.
That was actually bad. Really, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, the was it Vicky? It's the one that kind of screws everything up there. AI, and then we say again, 2001, Space Odyssey. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a.
Oh, did you see all those monoliths just like appearing randomly last year. Yeah. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Ooh, there's a good one. Avengers Age of Ultron, where Ultron, you, probably another movie you haven't seen, but you know, the whole concept is that it learned and became, you know, bad news, tried to take over everything. If you haven't watched that, that's a good one. So
I've got a lot of movies to watch.
Yeah, the list is growing. This podcast has turned into a real time sucker for you. You've got the next couple of months squared away for you.
Exactly, or one really good weekend.
Yeah, right. But I think you need to start with Predator. I'm just going to make that judgment call.
All right, will do. So I'll let you know what I think.
Now I want to go watch that. But anyway, so data poisoning, crazy stuff. Like I said, we didn't really know all too much about it. But we just thought we'd make sure that everybody else was either as clueless as we are or has a brief history on what that is. We've been kind of kicking this idea around here for a couple of weeks, and so we thought we'd just bite the bullet and talk a bit about it. If anybody out there has any sort of history with or you know, has some knowledge that they'd like to share, please send it to either Franz at Ghostry or Pete at Ghostry. We'd be really curious to hear if you have any sort of real world examples of how you've dealt with this, or know anything about it. We just figured we'd take a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Always looking to learn more. So it was kind of cool to, you know, when you're in this space, you hear the same things like over and over. And so to hear something kind of new, like data poisoning, mm-hmm. or at least new to me, was exciting to learn about. We probably just started scratching on the surface of what can be done with data poisoning and what it is. So if you do want to learn some more about it, do a Ghost research for data poisoning and see what comes on up. And, you know, happy reading. But,
yeah,
thanks again for tuning in. We're always very, very appreciative. And I think we're about to hit 6,000 listeners. So thank you again for everybody who has been tuning in. And, you know, we're approaching the end of season two. But that's not to say that we're not going to be back for season three. You know, we're having fun with this and we're going to keep on going. So again, if you have any ideas of what you'd like to hear or any content related ideas for Pete and I, feel free to send it to Franz or Pete at ghostery.com. And then I guess we'll get you next time.
Yeah. And if you want to tweet out about sharing the podcast, if you want to take a screenshot and send it to me at pete@ghostry.com along with a mailing address and a t-shirt size, we'd be very happy to get you out some of the newest Ghostry swag. We're anxiously awaiting our browser Dawn to get out the door. The team, we made some sweatshirts, and so if you can show us you know, some sort of proof that, that you like us. No, but you know, if you can get us 5 subscribers and show us or just do the best you can to share the links and everything like that, please send it over, and there might be a sweatshirt in the mail for you here pretty soon. I've got a couple of extras that I'd love to get out into the world. At this point,
we're
only mailing US at this point. So as long as you're in the continental United States, I'd be happy to send it out to you. International stuff will be coming soon, hopefully. But we'll see. But until then, Franz, thanks for getting poisoned and talking about it at the same time.
Yeah.
So everybody out there, enjoy hopefully the sunnier and warmer weather headed your way.
Yeah.
Courtesy of ghostry.com. I kid. But anyway, enjoy your weeks, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.